Father God, as we have already expressed in numerous ways, we are grateful this morning, grateful for your blessings in our lives. We are grateful for the privilege of joining together as a church family to worship you. We are grateful for the women who have been an influence in our lives. We're grateful for the children that we have in our midst, and I pray that as they go to their Sunday school program that you would bless them and their teacher. And I pray that as we look into your word, that you would encourage and challenge and bless us. I pray for these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So obviously today we are celebrating Mother's Day. And I hope that you have or that you will do for or say something special to your mother or your grandmother or your great-grandmother or your wife. Now, it should go without saying that the women in your life deserve some special recognition. Please don't make the mistake that others have made. According to a British survey done quite recently, 40% of moms have received unwanted Mother's Day gifts. Now, we know that most moms, they're too polite to complain. But can you imagine receiving a snake as a Mother's Day gift? Now, according to this survey, here are some of the Mother's Day gifts that some mothers have received. And these are the worst gifts that they've received. According to the survey, some mothers have received on Mother's Day deodorant, a fire extinguisher, cleaning supplies, a stick of French bread, salad dressing, popcorn, hair dye, a screwdriver, toilet paper, a calculator, car parts, a clothesline, vitamin tablets, dustpan and brush, spoons, and yes, a snake. Now, people, please make sure that you do better than that. Now, as I was thinking about a message for Mother's Day, a word popped into my mind, and it was the word influence. And I quickly thought about how mothers are influencers. Now, in the field of social networking, there is something called influencer marketing. And there are people who are called brand influencers. So on platforms such as YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, there are people or brand influencers who have access to a large audience, or they've developed a large following, and they can, by virtue of their celebrity or their perceived authenticity and their reach, they can persuade large audiences to behave certain ways or to purchase certain products. Influencer marketing is the practice of marketing activities being specifically centered around and focused on the influencers more than on the larger public customer base. In a sense, influence marketing gets the brand influencers to kind of do the heavy lifting of influencing potential customers. Influence marketing recognizes the power and persuasiveness and often the cost effectiveness of using these brand influencers rather than launching a rather large and expensive national or international advertising campaign. As a matter of fact, some brand influencers, due to their growing reach, have parlayed their influence into multi-million dollar incomes. Now, on a much smaller scale, But really, no less effective an impact is the influence that mothers have on their children. Mothers are influencers. But so too are fathers and parents. Parents are influencers, just as singles or couples with no children are influencers, just as young adults and youth and children are influencers. Every one of us in this room are influencers. Whatever our familial status is, whatever our social status is, we are influencers. That means that our lives have impact on the people around us. Whether you realize it or not, you leave an impression or a mark on others. You are a compelling force that influences the actions, the behaviors, the thoughts, the opinions, the attitudes of others. And this influence can either be positive or negative. And so on this Mother's Day, I want to address not just the mothers, but all of you, all of us, because we are all influencers, either for good or for bad. And obviously this morning I want to encourage you to be a good, inspiring, exemplary, uplifting influence in the lives of others. And the way for you to accomplish this positive influence is by nurturing and displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Now, if you've not found it yet, find Galatians chapter 5 at verse 13. What I want to do this morning is to unpack the biblical teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, and then I'll wrap things up by offering you some of my short practical behaviors which will help you to have a positive influence in someone's life. And so looking at Galatians chapter 5, it's been read already, but I think it's very important to keep on reading again out loud. So, starting at verse 13, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Every day, you and I are developing our character. And in the process, we are either becoming more or less conformed to the likeness of Jesus. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is actually a succinct summary of the character of Jesus. And to become more conformed to the likeness of Jesus requires the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our lives need to be impacted or influenced by the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit so that we can then impact or influence others in a positive and beneficial way. Now, without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our influence will fail to be positive and beneficial. The first necessary thing to understand about the fruit of the Spirit is that the fruit of the Spirit is from God. This is the first thing to understand, that the fruit of the Spirit is from God. The sinful deeds of the flesh, where do they originate? With man. We can, indeed we must, take credit for our bad behaviors. You can try, but I'm sorry, it does not work. Declaring that the devil made me do it in no way absolves you of personal culpability. The deeds of the flesh, the sins that we commit, originate with us. We are responsible. The fruit of the Spirit, however, is entirely from God. We cannot take credit for the fruit. You see, the fruit is not natural to us. The fruit is a supernatural reality that comes from God to people who are living by the Spirit of God and are keeping in step with the Spirit. That's what verses 16 and 25 tell us. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit, comes from God. Now, when you are out shopping at your local produce store, do you ever pause to consider where that pear or that orange actually comes from? Now, you likely don't unless you've got some kind of a germ phobia. I mean, you just simply take for granted the existence and the presence of that piece of fruit on the market shelf. You don't really think about it. But if you were to pause, you would likely realize that the orange didn't just miraculously or suddenly appear on the shelf. There was a necessary process. A tree with its roots in the soil takes in water containing nutrients. These nutrients circulate throughout the sapwood into the trunk, the branches, and leaves. Leaves are then acted upon by the sun, and they absorb carbon dioxide and water from the air, which are then converted into basic food elements, such as carbohydrates and proteins and fats. Buds then begin to form, and flowers start to bloom, and pollination occurs, and an orange starts to grow. And then one day, the fruit matures, and it's picked, and it's transported. And on Saturday morning, it appears as a masterpiece on the shelf of your produce market. Now, how does the fruit of the Spirit come into existence in a person's life? It does not just suddenly appear all by itself. There is a process. First, you need to be saved. You need to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus, repenting of your sin and asking Him to forgive you. Next, you need to reorient your desires by inviting the Holy Spirit to help you desire what is actually contrary to the sinful nature. Then there is crucifixion. Again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you need to relinquish, or you need to nail to the cross all your passions and your desires that are sinful, that are unhealthy, that are counterproductive. As a Christian, you need to understand that you cannot simply say that once you are saved, it now really doesn't matter how you live. Salvation is no fire insurance policy. It is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. You cannot, as a Christian, cling to or excuse the sins like those mentioned here in verses 19 to 21 and in verse 26, thinking that your sinful behavior has no bearing upon your eternal destiny. And so you want to, and you need to want to, get rid of all the sludge and the poison that's in your life, but you can only do that and repeatedly do that in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now keep your fingers in Galatians 5 and just go back a few pages to the Gospel of John chapter 15. Because I want to look very briefly at how Jesus speaks to the matter. John chapter 15, I'm going to read the first 10 verses. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love." We simply cannot produce fruit on our own. But if we truly love God, and this love will be evidenced by our obedience to him, as we truly love him, we obey him, and we remain in him, and we continue to be connected to him. As we remain in him and connected to him, it is then that the fruit of the Spirit is developed and is continually being developed. So if you want to influence others positively, you need to be living a life of love, devotion, and obedience to God, to Jesus. And as you are doing this, God's Spirit then flows through you and nourishes you and blossoms in you and develops the fruit within you, and people take note of the beauty of God and the beauty of holiness in your life. It's not anything that you develop. It comes from God. As you love God and obey Him, then this beauty develops in your life. Now, a second necessary thing to understand about the fruit of the Spirit is that it is one fruit. Look at Galatians 5:19. We read that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. The word acts is plural. Not act, but acts. Plural. There are many acts of the sinful nature. Now note that in verse 22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is. Did you notice that? This is singular. There is only one fruit of the Spirit. But why then, you justifiably ask, why are nine listed? Doesn't this mean that there are nine fruits of the Spirit, grammar notwithstanding? No. There is really only one fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Love is the preeminent virtue. It's the defining characteristic of the Godhead. Listen to these verses. Romans chapter 8, verse 39. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5, verse 5. The love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. 1 John 4, verse 8. God is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God is love. The Holy Spirit is love. Jesus is love. The character, the personality, the very essence of Jesus is love. And so to take on the likeness of Jesus is to take on love. And to love Jesus is to be filled with love. Now, the other eight words that Paul includes here in this sentence describe virtues or aspects or elements of love. To help us more fully understand what love is all about, what love feels like, what love looks like, what love does, Paul expands. Now, maybe we could describe the fruit of the Spirit as being similar to a rainbow. As a ray of light shines through the raindrops, that one ray is broken into all the colors of the spectrum. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And voila, you have a rainbow. Now, a rainbow is a compilation of all the colors. Love is a ray of light that gets manifested in a spectrum of colors or virtues. I mean, what is a rainbow? Is it the color red? Is it the color orange? No, it is a compilation of all the colors. And so love is a ray of light that gets manifested in a spectrum of colors and virtues. As the fruit of love is being developed in your life by the Holy Spirit, in response to your love for God and for Jesus and in your obedience to them, you become more like Jesus. And as you are loving and becoming more like Jesus, you experience or you express more fully joy. peace, patience, and so on. Now, this is going to sound maybe a little crude or a little bit harsh, but let me just put it this way. If you are lacking joy in your life, it's because your love life sucks. That is, you do not love Jesus enough. If you are lacking patience, you are actually deficient in love. You do not love Jesus enough. If you are not peaceful, you are actually deficient in love. You do not love Jesus enough. If you are lacking in any of the virtues or the expressions of love in your life, as outlined here by Paul, then you need to reorient yourself to loving Jesus more deeply and obeying him more faithfully. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, we are told that three things remain. What are they? What's the first one? Faith, hope, love. But, says Paul, the greatest of these is love. What are the two greatest commandments that Jesus gave? They are to love God and love your neighbor. Now, what happens when a person loves God? Well, he loves his neighbor also. And when you love God and your neighbor, you are enabled by the Holy Spirit of God to be a person who increasingly experiences joy, is at peace, displays patience, acts kindly, does good, is faithful, behaves with gentleness, and is self-controlled. Let me say it again. The more a person loves God and neighbor, the more a person loves Jesus, the more she will experience and express cheerfulness. She will be at peace with God and others and self and be able to live confidently. She will be more composed and patient with others, or will respond well to unexpected interruptions. He will show kindness and be polite and considerate. He will have an admirable character. She will be faithful. That is, she will be filled with faith in God's ability to do great wonders, and she will also be faithful, reliable, and trustworthy in her relationships with others. She will not disappoint others or fail to complete her responsibility. He will be gentle towards others, encouraging and helping and sometimes correcting and rebuking, but with sensitivity. She will be in control of her actions and reactions towards others. He'll not hurt, he will not offend or embarrass others by his behaviors or words. You see, when the fruit of the Spirit is being developed in your response to love and obedience, these are the kinds of ways in which you begin to behave. Now, a third necessary thing to understand about the fruit of the Spirit, and I suppose it should go without saying, and that is that the fruit of the Spirit is very attractive. Loving God and loving others is so very attractive. Being a positive, affirming, uplifting, exemplary influence upon others is so very attractive. Your attractiveness is the result of having become a Christian and having experienced a very beautiful thing called God's grace. At the moment of your salvation, you were forgiven of all of your deeds of the flesh, for all of your sins, for all of your ugly and shameful and selfish and hurtful and poisonous thoughts and words and actions. You were forgiven of all of that. You were forgiven even though you didn't earn it, and you certainly didn't deserve it. You see, forgiveness and the transformation of your life from an enemy of God to a friend of God, it's a beautiful thing, but it only occurs because of God's grace. Never think that you earned it or you deserved it. It's God's grace. Now, I remember an occasion, and I hate to admit how long ago this was, but you'll figure it out very quickly. Rhoda and I went out for a New Year's Eve meal, and we were recently married. So you can figure out how long ago that was. As recently married, cash was tight. But we needed to do something special. And for us, dining out happened so rarely. And so on this particular New Year's Eve, we went to one of the nicest restaurants in town. We skipped the appetizers and dessert. We only drank water. But the bill was still very large and more than we should have spent given our particular circumstances. But we needed it and we enjoyed the date night out. Well, when I asked the waiter for our bill, to our great surprise, the waiter had said to us that the bill was already taken care of. You see, there was a man from another church who was dining in the restaurant at the same time as we had been. He had seen us over there. He had called the waiter over and he had paid our bill. Now, why did he do that? We did nothing to earn his kindness. We did nothing to deserve his kindness. We did not ask for, we did not expect this kindness. It was his gift to us. It was grace. God's salvation is a kindness. It is a gift. It is grace. It is a grace gift. Christians are wonderfully forgiven. Our bill for sin has been paid by Jesus. And when that happens, how do you want to respond? When you receive the gift of grace and all of your sins are forgiven, how do you want to respond? You want to respond by loving more deeply and consistently and by becoming more like the one who has given you the most invaluable gift imaginable. When your sins are forgiven, when you have experienced God's grace, you want to love Jesus. You want to live like Jesus. And as you do this, you become more and more attractive. Your beauty or your own grace develops. And that grace, that beauty, is the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus embodied and lived out the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus embodied and lived out all that was right and good and beautiful. Now, if you compare verses 13 to 21 in our text, which speak about the ugly deeds of the flesh, that we must forsake. Compare that with verses 22 and 23, which speak about the beautiful fruit of the Spirit. Oh, you want the fruit of the Spirit because of having experienced grace. Sinful living, characterized by verses 13 to 21. It's like a bruised and rotting piece of fruit that you find out in the dumpster in the alleyway. But the spirited, the attractive, the beautiful fruit, graceful living, characterized by verses 22 to 23, is like that freshly picked organic piece of fruit that just tastes phenomenal and the grocer sells it for a premium price. As attractive as the fruit of the Spirit is, as that fruit is being developed in your life by the Spirit, as it becomes more evident in your life, then you cannot help but become a more attractive and influential person. Jesus, who was full of the Spirit, who lived by the Spirit, who was led by the Spirit, who kept in step with the Spirit, as Paul speaks about in these verses, he possessed completely and perfectly the fruit of the Spirit. And what did he do? He attracted people to himself. And he influenced them positively. In some sense, Jesus was the ultimate brand influencer for God. He was the brand influencer for righteousness and for the beautiful, the abundant life. Everyone hearing this message today, you are an influencer. As an influencer, who do you represent? As an influencer, who do you influence? As an influencer, what kind of impact are you having, negatively or positively? As an influencer, you should be influencing others by displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Back on May 13th, 1965, the magazine called Housekeeping Monthly, not a religious publication, okay, Housekeeping Monthly, offered some advice to women in what they called the Good Wife's Guide. Now, I'm going to read some of that article to you, and you're probably going to cringe. Just a little bit. But listen to it, because I'm going to make a very positive application from this article. So, here's the Good Wife's Guide in part. The article says, plan ahead, even the night before, to have a delicious dinner ready when your husband gets home from work. This is a way of letting him know you have been thinking about him and are concerned with his needs. Prepare yourself. Put on some makeup. Put a ribbon in your hair and be fresh looking. He's been with a lot of work-weary people. Prepare the children. Take a few minutes to wash them up, brush their hair, and change their clothes if needed. Remember, they are little treasures and he would like to see them playing the part. Have a cool or warm drink for him and arrange his pillow and take off his shoes. Over the cooler months, you should prepare and light a fire for him to unwind by. After all, catering to his comfort will bring you immense satisfaction. Let him talk first. Remember that his topics of conversation are more important than yours. Never complain if he comes home late or goes out to dinner or entertainment without you. Instead, try to understand his world of strain and pressure and his need to relax. Now, if you've cringed a little, I understand. There are some unfortunate stereotypes and an unhealthy patriarchy in this article. But undergirding this article, there is actually a very positive and biblical message, which is simply this: be nice. If you really love Jesus and you really love others, then the fruit of the Spirit will be in evidence, it will be growing, and you will be influencing positively others by being nice. Now, what does being nice entail? Here I wrap things up with four of my practical suggestions for living a life of love that will influence others positively, using the fruit of the Spirit to be nice. How can you be nice? My first practical suggestion: be generous with compliments and stingy with criticism. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. There is no spiritual gift of criticism. Don't claim to be God's voice to criticize. Be generous with compliments and stingy with criticism. My second practical suggestion: recite Baa Black Sheep. Or if you don't know that little nursery rhyme, count to 10. When you feel like you are about to lose your temper, or you're going to react to another person's unkind words or actions in an unhealthy manner, do something to collect your wits and to calm down. You don't want to duplicate someone else's bad, unloving, disgraceful behavior. So engage your brain before you open your mouth, so that when you do respond or speak, you will do so with grace and sensitivity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. So be generous with compliments and stingy with criticism. Recite Baa Black Sheep or count to 10. My third suggestion is, be quick to forgive and do not hold grudges. Since God has forgiven you, and again, let me be blunt, I know that you needed a lot of forgiveness, just as I did. Since God has forgiven you, you should be quick to forgive others. And holding a grudge, it will poison and it will destroy your spiritual fruit, especially your joy and your peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So be quick to forgive and don't hold grudges. My final practical suggestion this morning is, build a fire every day. Let me explain. You may recall that when Paul and his fellow mariners were shipwrecked, this is what we read in Acts chapter 28, the first two verses. We read that once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. What does it mean to build a fire every day? It means to show unusual kindness. Do something kind or helpful for another person every day. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them to do to you. Unusual acts of kindness. I came across a story, and I tend to think it's true. One day there's a businessman who was approaching the front entrance to an office building, and a young, as it turns out, rather proud and arrogant woman came up to the door at the same moment. And the businessman stepped back, and he opened the door for the woman, who was very quickly annoyed, and she said, "Don't hold that door open for me just because I'm a lady." And to her surprise, this is what he shot back immediately, and he said, "I'm not. I'm holding it open because I'm a gentleman." Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Real embarrassment to the cause of Christ when there is bad behavior, especially in the family of believers. It says, as you have opportunity, do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Mothers, fathers, people, we are all influencers. Therefore, let us influence people positively through the fruit of the Spirit. Love God, love others. Be led by the Spirit. Be nice. Be generous with compliments and stingy with criticism. Recite Baba Black Sheep or count to 10. Be quick to forgive and don't hold grudges, and build a fire every day. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this most important teaching, which applies to mothers, fathers, to every single one of us. And I pray that you would help us to truly love Jesus and to become more like him, and to allow that fruit of the Spirit to be a positive influence in the people around us. I ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand with me and let's sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 And thank you for spending time with us. Remember, there are refreshments off in the side room and pancakes. And please go and enjoy yourself and some fellowship with one another.